Excited for another big season for the Cats at Wahoo Manhattan in Aggieville.
Good morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, and I have on the phone from Washington, D.C., Congressman Roger Marshall. Good morning.
Brady, good morning. If I'm out of breath, I just sprinted back from the Capitol, and I guess we're live. So looking forward to, we have some tough things going on in the House today. Just walked out of a meeting with Speaker Paul Ryan, so fire away.
All right. Well, again, I told you this over the phone, but I just want to say this again on air. Just really appreciate you being able to talk with us. You and your staff always do a great job working with us and setting these up, and a lot of times it's difficult for politicians to go ahead and open up and talk with media sometimes. So again, just want to appreciate you doing this, especially kind of last minute like this. But well, you know, the big topic right now is the family separations at the border, and that's really just kind of dominated the headlines. Just kind of first, your thoughts on the issue, and if there's been any action, any talk this morning.
Yeah, absolutely there has. You know, first of all, Brady, I would say this. The separation of parents from their children, children from their parents, is a terrible situation, and the situation on the border is really a crisis situation. So, yes, literally spoke with President Trump last night about the situation, just walked out of a meeting with Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy as well, discussing the same situation, and we're going to vote on legislation tomorrow afternoon that'll solve this problem once and for all. You know, what this bill does is going to require the Department of Homeland Security to maintain the care and custody of aliens together with their children while this legal process is pursuing, which is different than the way the legal precedent is right now. So I'm absolutely confident that we will solve the problem on the House side, and we need the Senate to get geared up and not take 9 months to solve this problem. So we're ready to move on it.
So is this just kind of return it back to kind of the pre-zero tolerance policy? Is that kind of what the aim of the bill is?
Well, of course, that would be too simple for me to say yes to that. So we're going to continue the zero tolerance policy, because before that, that's what's creating this crisis right now. We went from averaging 15,000 illegal crossings a month to 50,000 a month the past 3 months. So as this immigration issue comes to a head, we're going to make a vote on it. Everybody is trying to get through this border thinking they're going to get some type of sweetheart deal right now. So we have a crisis. So right now, the way the process is working, if you cross the border illegally with a child, the DHS turns the parent over to the justice system, and they're putting them in jail now. And then the law, as the president's interpreting, the precedent would be, is that he would have to then provide housing for that child separately. So this is going to just circumvent the whole process and say, while we're waiting for that legal process to occur, that DHS is required to set up residential halls for the children and the parents. And I got to add one more thing here. Of course, everything is not exactly as it always appears on the nightly news. A lot of these children that we're taking into custody now are being brought across the border illegally by terrorists or by the cartel. That somehow, through that they have a process that if they have a child with them, they're able to circumvent the system a lot. So, you know, the president is trying to fulfill his duties of protecting this country and securing the border right now. And when there's 50,000 people that you're trying to apprehend every day, it's just a huge a crisis. And I'm not trying to defend it anyway, that it's good policy to separate children from parents. I want to fix that, but the country also needs to realize there is a crisis going on. You know, this opioid war that we have going on, a lot of those drugs are coming across this border, so we need to secure the border for the sake of keeping terrorists out as well as drugs out. And so one more reason why we need strong border security.
But when you're talking about those sort of situations, and I don't doubt that there are those situations that you're talking about, but do you have any idea as far as what percentage of the whole that is when we're looking at these populations of people?
Yeah. I talked to the Department of Homeland Security yesterday trying to get to that number as well. And what they told me is that the super majority of the children under the age of 5 were taken from bad guys, people that are using, you know, the human trafficking, that type of thing. So, you know, super majority to me means, you know, more than 2/3 of the people under 5 years of age held in custody were taken from people that were not their parents. You know, the kids older than age 5, I don't have a good answer for that. So there's a total of 2,000 kids that have been separated from their parents to date. So I think, I'm not sure what the age breakdown is, but I'm trying to understand that question as well. I think it's a great question. But regardless, we're going to fix the problem.
And you said you talked with President Trump last night. What was his kind of demeanor like when you were speaking with him? Did it seem like there's an understanding that because whether it's Republican or Democrats, especially on the family separation issue, it seems like it's pretty uniform across the board and really across the country that the people are really uncomfortable with that?
Yeah, I think the president has an incredible understanding of the situation down there. And he certainly does not like the situation now. Again, to call it a crisis situation would be an understatement. So if it's kind of like being the father, you know, it was just Father's Day recently, and a radio station asked me what was it like being a father compared to a congressman. And a father sometimes has to make some really tough decisions. And sometimes we have to discipline our children. Sometimes we have to give people curfews and all those types of things. So I think the president, to me, as I talk to him, his heart is very genuine. He has the same goals and aspirations that you and I do and your listeners have. His goal is that we have a great America, that we bring jobs back into America. But he wants a secure border, and that's a top priority. It was a campaign promise, and this president is going to fulfill his campaign promises.
But when he says that, when you're looking at this situation, when he used words like infesting the country and those sort of things, do you ever give him any tips to be like, you know, that doesn't help the situation at times?
You know, I don't know that the president of ICE ever got down into his choice of vocabulary or when he tweets or anything like that.
Because your tweets are very good. I like your tweets.
Well, thanks. He does use some pretty rough language. You know, to be frank, language I grew up in, you know, working in the oil fields and the oil refineries. He's truly a kid from the Bronx. He's not this rich kid from, I guess, Long Island, wherever the rich kid, Manhattan, in Manhattan, New York. So he is just who he is. I think he's the most transparent president we've ever seen. But what we see is this president thinking out loud as he develops his policy. And sometimes he is throwing things on the wall to see if they stick. And I think that sometimes the press overreacts on every breath he takes. I think we should always take seriously everything he says, but I wouldn't necessarily take everything literally that he says. I get along very well. I understand exactly where he is. I have no problems communicating with the president, but certainly all of this is a roller coaster ride, and I have empathy for those who follow it real closely.
Well, if they ever need a communications guy, sounds like
you're yet.
looking at another thing, and we had some news clips on this not too long ago, but when you spoke about DACA, you were on the House floor, I believe, maybe in May, I think you were on the House floor speaking about DACA. And there are a lot of tie-ins with the issues we're dealing with now at the border and family separations and also DACA. I'm just wondering what update you have for us on that.
Yeah, well, certainly DACA is part of the fixes in both of the bills that we'll be voting on this week. They define who a DACA recipient is a little bit differently. The first bill we'll vote on, a Goodlatte bill, probably 800,000 DACA recipients would be eligible for a permanent legal status, but no special pathway to citizenship. So a permanent legal status, renewable every 6 years, I believe, but no permanent, but no special pathway to citizenship. The other bill that we're doing that I think will pass will actually have about maybe 1.5 million more broadly defined DACA recipients or potential DACA recipients. So I think it addresses the problem in a very compromised fashion. I mean, listening to both sides of the aisle, both sides of our conference, I think we have a good fix for it. There's 6,000 DACA recipients across Kansas right now, so that's a big number. To be honest, I'm more concerned about an agriculture guest worker visa. An agriculture guest worker visa could impact 70,000 jobs or more in Kansas. And already we have at least 50,000 open jobs. And so unfortunately, the second bill that I think is going to pass is not going to include that agriculture guest worker visa. But I have personally talked to Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy and have their reassurance that we'll have an opportunity to debate this and vote that part of the bill on the floor in July.
I know that's a very important thing for Kansas and a lot of businesses. And you know, tied with that is also the talk of trade. That's another. There's just so much going on at the same time these days. But trade's another big thing, and that's something you've been speaking a lot about and speaking with some folks. I think you were just in Hutchinson recently speaking about it.
Yes, trade. Despite we're going to vote on a farm bill Thursday afternoon as well. So despite a farm bill, we're going to be also working on. We've been working even harder on trade. And it's been a roller coaster ride. The president called me a week ago Saturday. We had about a 10-minute discussion on trade and tariffs and how they're impacting Kansas. I spoke with the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, a week ago, this past Thursday, in particular about a business in Hutchinson that's being impacted by the steel tariffs. And again, in conference today, we spoke with Speaker Ryan and Kevin McCarthy well again about trade tariffs. So working very hard. Tariffs are a tax on consumers. My message is we need to get NAFTA done. We need to get it done right away. We've got an uphill battle dealing with China and their intellectual property theft.
Brady Bowman here with Congressman Roger Marshall is on the phone with us from Washington, D.C. Just finally, Congressman, we had some news. We saw your press release not too long ago about a lot of federal money coming into the state for airports. Just want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about that.
Well, sure. In rural America, general aviation is still very important. Manhattan has made some major improvements into their airport as well, and with commercial flights. And I think Manhattan Airport got the biggest grant out of all of them. Gosh, there's so many things going on. I can't remember specifically what they're going to do with that grant, but it's typically to update runways. The runways are very expensive to maintain, and I would suppose to try to keep up with some of their security issues as well. So, several of my airports have this EAS grant, which helps supplement some of the flights as well. And I think Manhattan benefited from that one as well. So certainly, when people ask me, how are we going to keep rural America alive, I think airports are one of them. And I know people from Manhattan don't think they're in rural America, but you know, compared to a huge, huge city, a lot of the same problems apply. So we're proud to keep fighting to keep those rural airports open and functioning well.
All right, very good. Thanks so much for talking with us and taking time out of your busy schedule.
You bet, Brady. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. That was Congressman Roger Marshall talking with us from Washington, D.C. On the other side of the break, we'll have some folks from Manhattan Area Technical College talking about nursing program. More in Focus coming up.
K-State fans, cheer on Coach Snyder and the Wildcats this fall as we host 7 games in America's number one college town, including an SEC matchup with Mississippi State. Football season.